Passage selected for the sermon this morning is taken from the Gospel, which was the second reading. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man that had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are some passages in Scripture which are terrifying to us. And of the Gospel passages, this is probably one of those passages that actually gives us the most pause, the most concern. It looks like we are dealing with that angry God that people claim is represented in the Old Testament. And of course, we don't like that. We want to think of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, as all-loving, as having that lamb draped around his shoulder and walking down from the mountain, speaking, you know, softly to it and comforting it. The idea that God will be our judge is not something that we accept, and especially here in America and at this time, we accept that less now than we ever did. As Americans, we didn't like to be judged. But in this world and in this culture where everything goes and everybody is their own judge in their life unto themselves, the idea that God will judge us is a really terrifying thought. But the real purpose of the parable isn't to make us afraid. It isn't to alienate us from God. It isn't to separate us from that picture of God, that image of God as loving and compassionate. The purpose of this parable is twofold. First, it teaches us what God really cares about. And what does he care about? He cares about the two great commandments, that we should love God with all our heart and with all our mind and with all our soul and with all our strength. And he cares about the second great commandment, that we prove that love to him by the way that we take care of and the way that we love each other. When we look at this parable, what we really see in the two groups who wind up being judged, and honestly, if we think about it, who give judgment to themselves, make their own judgment, is the two representations of those laws. That first group of people are the people who are not coming to worship God. In St. Matthew's account, St. Matthew's account of the same verse, the people that don't come have specific excuses that are particularly excuses for people not to come to the holy day services at the temple, the testing of a new draft of oxen, the just getting married. These were acceptable excuses that the church allowed and were good excuses, so that these people that are not coming were good people, but good people who were using the loopholes of the law to allow themselves to go and escape the responsibilities of the law, using the loopholes of the law to escape the spirit of the law. In this particular gospel, which is more appropriate for us, St. Luke talks about the fact that those folks that didn't come beat and misused and abused the messengers that the king sent. And when he sent that out again, and what was his message? Come and join with me in celebrating the feast that I have. Be part of it. Be part of my bounty. Be part of my grace. Be part of my life. And what did they do? They killed the servants that came. They killed the king's servants. And that's still appropriate for us today. We live in a world where there still is great persecution of the church, where people who bring the message of the love of Christ are murdered for bringing that message and offering to have people know that there is a banquet to which they are invited, a banquet in which to which they ought to come. The part of the parable that is more troublesome for us, because we're not persecuting the church, but the part of it that's troublesome is that guy that showed up and didn't have the wedding garment. And we think to ourselves, oh my goodness, what kind of God is this? I mean, the guy couldn't afford a tuxedo, and we bind him and throw him out and leave him out with the wolves and the gnashing of teeth. Sounds pretty hard, doesn't it? But of course, we don't have great context and great understanding when we read this, so it just sounds to us like that man's problem was his inability to acquire the appropriate gown. The truth is that in those days, and especially for people who had means, when you invited folks to a wedding, the people who put on the wedding provided the garment. That man had a garment. It was hanging right outside the door. Everybody who came in was given one of those. So when the king comes to him and says, in a very gentle way, friend, why didn't you put on the garment that I gave you? The man will answer nothing. He just goes silent. Now, there were answers. There were perfectly good answers and acceptable answers. The king would have accepted them. God would have accepted them. He could have said, I'm sorry. I'll go get it. Right? That worked. Would have worked. But no, this man instead said, I came in to this place and decided I would not wear that garment. And I don't have any good excuse for not doing it, and I'm not going to give you the courtesy of an explanation. That man brought judgment on himself. He brought judgment on himself, just like those people that killed the servants of the king when he brought the good word, brought judgment on themselves. The judgment of God is that we come to the banquet, that we receive the grace and the blessings that he has reserved for us. But we don't always accept that. And this man, who does represent us quite a bit, decided that he knew better than God, that he didn't need to put on what was provided for him. Now, what does that mean, put on what was provided for him? What garment is it that we should be putting on when we come to the feast that's been prepared for us? Well, the garment that's prepared for us is the love of Christ and the character of the Holy Ghost. It's that second great commandment, isn't it, that we love each other. That is what we are supposed to put on when we come to the feast. And instead, when we come to the feast, and we bring our grudges with us, and we bring our unhappiness with us, and we bring our quickness to be upset with us, our intolerance of the people around us, that's not putting on the garment. That's what this parable is all about. We're called to worship in community. We're called to worship in communion, to lift each other up, to love each other, to forgive each other. This is what is required when we are called to the wedding, when we're given a place that was not originally ours, but given a place to come and enjoy the grace of God, then we owe it to him to come in putting on the character of Christ, putting on the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, in love for each other and lifting each other up. It is a scary parable. It is a scary passage. But it's not a scary passage that tells us we should be afraid of God. It's a scary passage that talks about how we are determined to avoid the love of God, how we are determined in our lives to not be graceful and to not be loving. And this is the warning that we're given in this parable, that we open up our hearts, that we put on the wedding garment and enjoy the feast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.